Howdy. All right, let's try one more time. Howdy. There we go. Good evening, y'all. It's good to see everybody here. It's awesome that y'all have come to fellowship and to see all these beautiful faces out here once more. I'm pumped about this lesson coming up. I'm pumped up today. I just want to let y'all know it's pretty cool for me personally whenever I'm up there hosting, connecting with people, folks that come in for their very first time, and they leave, and they're different people. It's pretty stinking awesome. Like, they leave, and they've got a smile on their face, and they say they loved it. Can't wait to come back. I'm going to tell my family. And I just want to let y'all know it's a real privilege just to serve here. But it's also, just so y'all know, I know sometimes maybe if you're attending or serving elsewhere, maybe some of y'all don't have that visibility or are able to see it, but you should thank God that you're part of this church where that happens on such a regular basis. Yeah, it's and it's due to the leadership here, but again, all the glory goes to God, right? It's nothing that we're doing. We're just pursuing Him, everyone here at this church and the staff. So just want to let y'all know it's a privilege not only for the church leadership and each Sunday, but also here. This is also a big part of it, right? Because a lot of the people that come from here that graduate from this class, they end up serving and being a part of it and contribute to that experience that these people might not have ever experienced in their life, right? So it's just a big deal. So between that, getting pumped up, so I get that on Sunday, right? And then on Friday, who went to the men's retreat? Give me some hands. Give me some hands. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm just going to say this. My wife went to the ladies' retreat, and all I heard from the ladies that went to the ladies' retreat, that I think us fellas had a lot more fun than the ladies did at theirs. I think we did. So next year, ladies, if you want to have more fun, just let the guys schedule it for you. We'll work it out. Y'all can frou-frou it up and do what you need to, okay? But we're happy to help out when needed. So also, anybody that might have missed it this year, just so y'all know, I was personally a big benefactor of this. So number one, me, Michael Sines, Big Blake over here, we won the tractor competition. Yeah. But also my wife somehow, now I know this looks kind of suspicious, okay, because she got a coach purse. I'm like, hey, Christmas is taken care of now. This is awesome. Best money I've ever spent on her going to that conference. But just plugging away, it was super, super awesome just for her to attend, for me to attend. If you didn't make it this year, make sure you go next year. It's going to be even bigger, even better. You don't want to miss it then, right? So speaking of things you don't want to miss is the retreat. Yeah. So real quick, at your tables, every person here, I've written a little bit on mine. You should have a handout. Yeah, that's basically what it is. It's saying, anyway. So take just a few moments. We'll go through it real quick. The dates on there, November 12th to the 14th, we've been plugging away. So when you see that, right, if you're thinking, it's my turn to check out for the next 5-10 minutes as they talk about this, few things to remind you about. Number one, it is not too late to sign up, okay? It's not too late. There's still spots open. We want you to go so bad because we know what's going to happen whenever you attend and then leave. Every person that served here has gone. One thing to note, too, just in case if you're kind of like on the fence about it, every person, not only have we gone and every person that's a table host has gone, we all pay every year to go, just like you do, right? And my wife and I, we're actually doing the math the other day. It's like, man, this is our sixth retreat. It's like, man, it's kind of a lot of money we've forked over for this thing. But every penny, best money we've ever spent. Every single semester is just so fantastic. And but I just want to let you know, again, to say each table host here, they're sacrificing as well. And they've already gone, and they're going to go again because they know what it's going to do for this class, for this table, every person here, including themselves, right? So just wanted to share that bit of piece. But one thing to note is we will be submitting the final headcount by this Friday, okay? So make sure and touch base with your table host. If you've said, yeah, I really want to go, or I'm going to go, and you're thinking about paying at the last date, let them know, okay? Because, again, we're getting the final headcount solidified by this Friday. So touch base with them, let them know, okay, either this week I'll pay some, at the end I'll pay some, in between, whatever the case might be. Also, if you're on the fence about a deal, or you're saying, look, I can't go because of this, again, just reiterate to your table host, talk with them, just share with them, because, again, we want everybody that can go to go, and we don't want there to be any obstacles, if at all possible. So, and you'll see in the handout the cost of it. All payments, again, November the 10th is the final day to pay. That includes lodging, meals, registration, breakfast. Fantastic food is going to be there. You're not going to want to miss it. Also, the online payments are there. We're trying to do it through the app. I would suggest going to that website that's listed there, either on your laptop or even on your phone. You can do it there. I've personally done it there, so guaranteed that works. And so for anybody that has signed up, that last little note there, we'll be going over all the details, some of the administrative stuff regarding that retreat on November the 1st after the class. Okay, so if you got a bunch of questions, what do I bring, you know, times, what does this look like, et cetera, feel free to, you know, write down those questions. We will be happy to answer every single one of them on November the 1st at 7:30, okay? All good? Thumbs up? All good. Fantastic. Cool. So without further ado, now that we covered that, we have a special treat, or we're going to give you a special treat this Sunday night. We want to do things a little bit different, kind of mix it up. And one thing that's very important to this class is, just so y'all know, all the students, when you come in, each of your table hosts, they come and they pray on your behalf. We intercede for you to make sure if there's any distractions, any obstacles, any strongholds that are there still in your life, we pray for you. We pray for you by name. We pray for you corporately and as a group. And that gets every one of us in that mindset of focusing on what's the mission here. It's to open up your God-given potential and have that encounter each week. And to that end, to make sure we don't get in a rut and feel like we're just going through the motions, we felt it was very important that we open up this evening with a few moments of worship being led by the amazing Pastor Cody. And he's gonna play a few songs for you. And something else that's real cool that's going to be coming. Again, if you're going to the retreat, Pastor Cody and his team from his worship group that he leads will also be there. And I'm telling you, if you, big hand. And just to brag on him just a little bit, and I shared this with him personally, I always love Cody and his amazing talent and him leading that group. But after the retreat, I even told him this. I said, man, I love seeing you on Sundays, but when I saw you perform and lead the worship at the retreat, there's a whole extra element that took place. It's something that's indescribable that you just got to be there. But I'm telling you, if you really like Cody and his team and what they do each Sunday, you don't want to miss the retreat because, again, there's an extra something that happens. And at the end of the day, it's the Holy Spirit shows up there in a such a powerful way. So without further ado, I want to open up to Cody and get his thoughts even about the retreat and when he attended and what he does there. So go ahead, Cody.
Hey, good evening, Encounter. How are you guys?
So much power in those two words. I'm available. I know that some of us in here tonight have come to this point of week 7 and said, you know, maybe I haven't received that breakthrough quite yet. Maybe it's something in you saying that what's holding me back? Well, what is hindering me from experiencing this deep walk with Christ? If we will take those words and truly not just speak them, but we'll live it and say, God, I'm available. God will move in those areas of your life that you give him access to like a flash of light. I love that song. And it's saying, God, I surrender. God, I'm available to do, I'm available to be done with whatever you want to be done with. Well, God wants to do something tonight, guys. God wants to move in your life tonight. So as we begin this teaching, I just encourage you to keep that at the forefront of God, I'm available. Because he wants to do something unique in our life tonight, okay? Is everybody in agreement with that? Does somebody want to see God move in their life uniquely tonight? All right, well, let's be available. I want to be available for God to use me to speak tonight, if not for Justin. I just want to be available for the Holy Spirit, as a tool for the Holy Spirit. And as we get going in this teaching, we're talking about generational hand-me-downs. Let me find my spot. Lisa, will you set my timer for an hour and a half, please? Oh, y'all didn't think that was funny? Okay. No. My wife said, don't y'all say that. No. Hey guys, we're talking about generational hand-me-downs tonight. It's also verbalized as generational curses. We don't like the word curses here. Okay, because when you say that, it's that's what it's called in the Bible, but when we hear the word generational curse, we act almost as if like something's, we've received this, now something's wrong with us. It's, you've been cursed with something and you can't get rid of it. So we want to refer to tonight as generational hand-me-downs, things that have been handed down to us, whether we wanted them or not, from generation to generation. And before we get started tonight, I want to share a couple of mine, of things that's been handed down in my life. Some good, some bad. But as I was going through this, I said, God, what is it that, reveal to me what it is that's been handed down to me that's really changed me, that's slowed me down, that's created a barrier that separated me from you. But what else has been handed down to me that's good? Because we don't want to leave this. I don't want to go through this teaching tonight and we think of generational hand-me-downs as a bad thing. Are there bad ones? Sure. Do we want to deal with the bad ones? Absolutely. But more than anything, we want to empower each other to begin to be conscious about what we're handing down to our children and our children's children, right? So let's look at a couple of these. All right, let's look at, here we go. This is my deer hoodie from last year. What? Yeah. You don't reckon? Yeah, I looked good. I looked good in this. It's a little snug in the shoulders, but this is my 7-year-old's hoodie. I bought this hoodie for Gracie when she was young because Gracie is, you know, she was my firstborn, and I was like, come on, God, give me a boy. God says, here's your girl. And so I camoed her up as much as I could, give her rubber boots. She was still a girl. But my dad taught me to hunt. I love to be in the woods. I used to hate hunting because you had to sit still. Now I love it because it's the greatest place in the world to sleep. There's no telling how many big deer has walked in front of me. And I'm just like, sleeping in the Lord. And then, when you're hunting with your daughter, there's not a deer going to come around because there's snacks opening up at 5:30 in the morning. They got to have something in front of them, so there's this glow, because if you don't give them something to play, they're, Daddy, where's the deer? Where's the... Yeah, so now there's this glow, and you can see the deer stand over saying, boy, well, turn the video game off at least. But this is, my dad taught me to hunt. And I love to be in the woods. He taught me to fish. If you know anything about me, fishing is one of my number one passions. I love fishing. Now let me back up. I love catching. I'm not a fisherman. I'm a catcherman. I don't own a fishing pole. I don't fish with fishing poles. I run trot lines. So I'm a catcher. If you look at my deep freeze, you'll say, that boy catches fish. But I love being on the water. I love being in the woods. And this is something that I've been able to hand down to my oldest daughter. And then when she outgrew it, I gave it to my middle daughter, Kerrigan. And then she outgrew it in like 30 minutes. And then I gave it to Cody Beth. And I said, Cody Beth, where's your hunting jacket? Hang on, Daddy. And she ran there and she knew exactly what I was talking about. Because if we go into the woods, it don't matter if it's August. She's going to wear this. And it's because it's because her daddy does. And I did it because my daddy did it. And his dad showed him how to hunt. We come from a family of hunters. And so this is a generational hand-me-down that I cherish. And I hope that my daughters send down to their kids. My daughter Gracie has already killed three. She's already outdone me. She's killed three big deer. Already looking for another one this year. And my middle daughter, she actually went and sighted in a gun this weekend, so she's ready to shoot. My seven-year-old, she's like, Daddy, just where's my pink BB gun? I'm going next Saturday too. Okay, my kids, and they love to fish. If you go through my phone, 80% of the pictures that are in there are of me and my kids fishing. 10% of them are selfies of my kids when they get my phone, and the other 10% of food. This is another thing that my dad handed down to me. My dad told me two things when I was growing up, and he meant it. My dad was very tough. He said, son, he said, you're going to learn to work and know Jesus when you leave my house. He said, the rest is up to you. So that was my dad's motto. You're going to learn to work, and he says, you're going to know Jesus. He says, the rest is up to you. And I can tell you that this is one of the greatest gifts my dad's ever given me. Is to be a hard worker. Christ even talks about working diligent 6 days a week. This is something that my dad gave me, and if it wasn't for this generational hand-me-down, I wouldn't have been able to provide for my family during tough times. But this also represents something else. My dad was a big cowboy, and I was too. That's the only, I've had about three jobs my whole life, okay? I worked at Brookser Brothers loading pallets for them for about 6 weeks until I tore all their stuff up. And I got a real nice exit. I painted motorhomes, and I was a cowboy. That's the only thing I've ever done. And I can tell you the things that I learned being a cowboy, the toughness and what it takes to live off a little is something that I cherish and I instill in my kids because I will not have lazy kids. I won't. But these gloves remind me that my dad says, you know what, son? I'm going to teach you to work. I'm going to teach you to use your hands to do good for the world. So this is a great one. But then there's some that aren't so good. Seriously, life just stole my life. Put a big hindrance on my marriage. And it's food. That's the way I was raised. You wake up, you eat. You wait 2 more hours, you eat again. We're having an event, you eat. That's what we do. This is how I was raised. It was normal to me, you know. So this was a bad thing that was handed down to me. And here's the thing, and this is what I really want to emphasize tonight, is that not only was this handed down to me, I've done a really bad job of handing it down to my kids. And I was driving home today, and God said, It's time to break that hand-me-down, son. Well, you don't want your kids to battle what you battled. You and your wife, you and Whitney, you are the catalyst to stop this. So it was a bad thing, but it was also a really good thing because both of my grandmothers are two of the best cooks in the world. Hence, that's one of the reasons why I'm so big. But they handed me down a passion to cook. And when I say a passion to cook, it's the only thing underneath God and my family that I love to do more than fishing, is I love to cook and feed people. So it was a double-edged generational hand-me-down that now I'm handing down to my kids because if I'm in the kitchen, my kids want to be in the kitchen, tearing everything up, making a mess, and I'm realizing I need to embrace that because one day they're not going to want to. But as much as destruction has brought in my life, it's also brought a ton of joy in my life. So this is a generational hand-me-down. That not only has hurt me, but God has used in as part of my ministry. Come on, Seville. Big Fellas Barbecue. Amen. That's anointing. That boy right there is anointed, son. And I didn't know it. I don't know if y'all know that. And a lot of this surprised a lot of people, but that's my brother right there. Has been my whole life. Am I right? Come on. We look just alike. If I could just get my beard to glisten like yours, though, son, we, me and you going somewhere. I promise. See this old tore up Bible? It's the first Bible I ever had. It saved my life. My great great grandpa was the pastor of the biggest Pentecostal church in California. It was 19 blocks big. My dad said he could preach the paint off the walls. My grandpa, my great-grandpa was a pastor. My grandpa was a preacher. My dad was a preacher. My brother still is. And this right here is one of the greatest things they've ever given me. Because it has saved me. This is a good thing. This is something that I want to instill in my kids so that they can instill in their kids. Parents, if you're not talking to your children about God, somebody else is. And it might be the wrong God. There's nothing greater that you can pass down to your children outside of a relationship with Jesus Christ. This is one of the greatest gifts I've ever received from my dad. Then there's this. Y'all know our story. I'm gonna try to get through this. You notice I'm not in this picture, right? This is the first picture that my wife and kids took after our divorce. And this is something that was handed down to me and her. I come from a divorced family. She come from a divorced family. This is, thank you. This sits in our bathroom. And every day, it breaks my heart. Because I did this. And to think about going back to this is unacceptable. This is a generational hand-me-down that's going to sound crazy, but I'm glad I got it. You want to know why? Because God made me tough enough to overcome this. That's why. It made my wife tough enough to overcome this for what she went through. And it sits in my bathroom and it is a reminder of where I don't want to go back to. But the greatest reminder is how big my God is. Amen. Amen. That's going to be the last one. That was the first picture that my wife took after I divorced her. This was the first picture we took after we got remarried. That is my brother and my aunt and my nieces and my nephew. See, my dad instilled in me the value of family. He instilled in me the value of work and Jesus. And because of that generational hand-me-down, the idea of getting beat in my divorce pulled me back into it because my dad said, son, you're tough enough. And this is the result. This is the result of breaking generational hand-me-downs that destroy your family. This is the result. This is so huge because if you knew my brother's view about my bride when we got a divorce, to see this family together smiling is huge. That's huge. One more, guys, and we'll move on. I'm sorry. And then there's this. This is a picture of the last encounter team when we left the retreat. This is a gift that they give me and Whitney. Each one of them with a personal note. What does this hand me down? My dad instilled with me toughness and leadership, but he instilled with me the value of Jesus and community. And I can tell you, that right there is a picture of family. If there's something missing in your life and you can't figure out what it is, it may be just as simple as plugging into the body of Christ and begin to serve with your brothers and sisters. And this is one of the greatest gifts that I get to hand down to my children, because my oldest daughter is a leader in Kid Works. My middle daughter, going deaf and all, dances every, all we hear is, Daddy, my servant, Daddy, my servant, Daddy, my servant, Mama, my servant, Daddy, my servant. Because all she wants to do, that's all she wants to do, is serve her fellow peers for Jesus Christ. Generational hand-me-downs can be good. Can be good. This is the last one. It's not all just about the spiritual side. This is a bag of silver dollars that has been passed down through my family for many generations. And it reminds me of one thing. On the other side of my family, my great-great-grandpa owned the biggest oil-field-rich property in Oklahoma. I was two generations away from being a billionaire. He lost it in a poker game. My grandpa started the biggest used car lot. That's the biggest used car dealership, USA Auto. My grandpa started that. He was a millionaire in Houston in the 60s, and he lost it all. It's something that got handed down to me is I struggled with finances for a long time. You want to know why? Because I put finances before I put this. And when I got them reversed, the provision that's been on my family's life, guys, is unparalleled to anything you've ever seen. I and my wife get to break this one, and this other one, so my kids do not have to go through it. Parents, you're sitting here right now. What is it in your life that you don't want your kids to have to tote? And we're going to have an opportunity tonight to deal with some of that, okay? Carter, if you will.
Oh, it's good to be back with y'all. I love you guys. Okay, y'all. We're just going to go ahead and we're going to jump in the first point here. And it's number one, generational hand-me-downs are real, not fictional. It ain't made up. It's a real deal. It's a real thing. They can be inherited. They can be learned. They can be taught. In the same way you can inherit good traits from your parents or your grandparents, have you ever heard, you remind me so much of your daddy? I hear a lot, you remind me so much of your mama. And I don't know if that's a compliment or not, but I'm accepted as one. You can inherit bad things also. You can inherit anger. You can inherit addiction. You can inherit all those things. In the same way, you can welcome the Holy Spirit and have welcomed the Holy Spirit in your life, and he's doing great things in your life. You can also let the enemy in, and he can let spirits like anger and sexual addiction in. Okay, and that's nothing to be afraid of. That's something just to be aware of. That sin and disobedience has repercussions that are real. But we can also receive and pass down good things to our children. Point number two, they're biblical and can and could be handed down to future generations. So they are in the Bible and they are real. Here in Numbers, I'm a read from the NLT version real quick. It says, in Numbers 14:18, the Lord is slow to anger and filled with unfailing love, forgiving every kind of sin and rebellion, but he does not excuse the guilty. He lays the sins of the parents upon their children. The entire family is affected, even the children in the third and the fourth generations. Now, I know it seems a little bit contradictory in this because the first verse says, the Lord is slow to anger and filled with unfailing love, forgiving every kind of sin and rebellion, but he does not excuse the guilty. He lays the sins of the parents upon the children. Their entire family is affected, even to the third and fourth generation. I know that seems a little bit harsh. How can he be so loving and so kind except the sins affect everyone else? Now, you have to understand, though, that in this scenario, right before this in chapter 13, the Israelites are rebelling against God. They're even talking about going back to Egypt, going back to being enslavement. He just wants to bring them out. So he's not taking the stance of a dictator or a tyrannical God. He's afraid for his children. In the same way, you don't want your kids, running in the road, and you're like, why did you do that? I will slap you upside your head, boy, if you do that again. My mama, I can't tell you how many times, had to get on to me, I was doing something stupid, like trying to stick a fork in the outlet, and shocking myself. She's like, boy, what is wrong with you? What are you doing? She carried a wooden spoon with her, and would whoop us. I'm talking about would tear us up. But eventually it got to the point where, me and Cole would be fighting in the back seat, and she would lift it up. She'd pull it out of the purse. She carried it with her, and she'd pull it out of the purse and hold it up. And I kid you not, it was dead silent. You could hear a mouse fart from 10 feet away. That's how quiet it was. So that's God's stance on this. He's saying, I love my children so much that I want them to fear this fate for them. Because I don't want this to affect. It says the entire family is affected. The sins of the parents upon their children. The entire family is affected by it. Now, it can be affected in a good way, but it can also be affected in a bad way. He's saying, I don't want that for you. I don't want that for your kids. I don't want that for your life. It's a real thing. It's biblical. You can pass down bad traits down into your family. But in order to do that, you have to reject this whole first part where it says the Lord is slow to anger, filled with unfailing love, and forgiving every kind of sin and rebellion. That's what God is. You have to excuse all of that to become guilty. And maybe some of you struggle with, you've been passed down a spirit of religion that says, I have to do all these things for God to love me. I have to do all these things so I don't go to hell. But that's a spirit of religion instead of a spirit of relationship. The relationship says, I am declared righteous because of what Jesus did on the cross for me. The curse of sin is broken. I don't have to feel this way. So they are real, they are biblical. So keep that in mind. God loves you and doesn't want these things to be passed down. Maybe he saw it in your grandparents, and he saw it in your parents, and now he's seeing it in you. He's saying, I don't want these things to affect your kids also. I want these things to affect your kids also. Point number three, they're disposable. They are not permanent. You don't have to accept them. You don't have to keep them. When we were younger, we had to accept the hand-me-downs we got. We had to accept that shirt with the Backstreet Boys on it. And you had to wear it to school, and it was just embarrassing, okay? Am I the only one? A Billy Ray Cyrus t-shirt in the closet still? I wasn't even alive yet when he was singing. But you don't have to keep them. Even in the Old Testament, curses could be broken by one generation, even one person's repentance and obedience and righteousness. Ezekiel 18:19 says, yet you say, why should not the son suffer for the iniquity of the father when the son has done what is just and right and has been careful to observe my statutes? He shall surely live. The soul who sins shall die. The son shall not suffer for the iniquity of the father, nor the father suffer for the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wickedness shall be upon himself. You don't have to accept these things. You don't have to keep them in your life. You don't have to keep carrying this spirit of anger that you got from your parents, or spirit of fear. I received a spirit of fear and anxiety, but also a stubbornness that has been passed down in my family. That just like, I can do it on my own. I don't need any help. I got this, but I needed help. I needed help. But you can receive that. You can, it's up to you, but you don't have to take it. And I know that God is looking out from heaven right now and seeing y'all, and he's seeing, you know what? I see me in them now. I see that they're picking up some of me in them. He's seeing how faithful you've been. But don't lose that. Don't stop being faithful now, because I believe that God wants to dispose of some things in your life tonight. So no longer that they can affect your family. So no longer addiction or fear or pain will be passed down, but the promises of God can be passed down from generation to generation. I believe that. I know it's been hard these past couple of weeks. You've having to be vulnerable. You're having to open up and let God touch things that you don't want to touch. That's difficult. But there's victory and vulnerability. Don't lose that. Don't lose that. Because I believe that God wants to dispose of some things in your life. The same way he sees the him that is in you now, all those good traits, he's looking down, he's seeing, I see that. That's good. They're getting more patient. I can see that. Look at that kindness. But he's also wondering, why are they wearing that coat of shame still? Why are they still walking in those old shoes of pride still, when they know that I got something better for them? So let's just take a heart of vulnerability tonight, because God wants to dispose of some things. And Justin's going to come up and talk to you about that.
Man, I am proud of these interns. Man, y'all are doing a great job. I'm proud of y'all guys. We're going to move into the next part, and you know it. Don't let the, and I'm just very, you know, it can be clunky moving from one teacher to the next. But hey, this is God pouring into these guys. God's using these guys. Hey, raise up future leaders. And so I'm very proud of you guys. And so, like I said, we're going to use them and insert them everywhere we can, because God's doing a really unique work in their life. So I want to jump over to this real quick. And this is really where I want to spend some time tonight. And I promise you, we're going to get y'all to break. It ain't break time yet, so y'all are good. Is that we can talk about all the sin in the world. We can talk about all these generational hand-me-downs and strongholds. And we can talk about all the things that are good in life and all the things that are bad in life. But we have to be able to take and point to something that can heal us, right? We have to have a focal point. Well, we can't talk about all of these different things and say, okay, but where's this source you're talking about? What is it that I need to cling to? You talk about clinging to hope. How do I cling to hope? All right, you're talking about clinging to a promise. How do I do this? How do I walk in the Spirit? How do I do this and this and this? And it all comes back down to one thing. It all comes back down to the work that Jesus Christ did on the cross. What we have to understand is the work that was accomplished on the cross was not for him. It was not for God. It was for us. And when we realize that Jesus Christ come down in fleshly form, he was all man and all God, and he says, I'm going to bear their cross. I'm going to take their sin and their shame. I'm going to take the wrath of God upon my shoulders, because they can't. When we understand that, that right there begins to make us understand about relationship. Imagine someone coming to you, Sonia, and saying, hey, I need you to take the wrath of God upon your shoulders. Or let's just say the wrath of Angelina County Sheriff Department, and I'm going to pour all my wrath in you, and I'm going to let all the prisoners free. Couldn't do it, could you? That's what Jesus did. So you need to understand that when we're talking about the completion of the cross, that we're genuinely talking about something that Jesus Christ did, that God called his son to do for each and every one of us in here individually. The completion of the cross is not for someone else. It's for you. That's very vital. Because when you grasp and understand that it's for me, right, you understand that the freedom is for me, then you can say, this power's for me. That this thing they're talking about, this completion of this presence we can walk into because the veil was torn, that was for me. Guys, I had to quit looking at it for the stance of, hey, that's for them and for them, but I've done too much. No. When I realized what Jesus Christ did on the cross was for Justin Lindsay, that's when I said, you know what? I can do this because he did. So before we go into this, I want you, I'm speaking to the class, but I'm speaking to you individually, okay? So number one, how Jesus finished work on the cross provides us power to get rid of unwanted hand-me-downs. Number one, when Jesus died on the cross for our sins and rose victoriously from the dead, he broke the power of sin and provided a means of, listen, complete forgiveness and healing, of completion. But I want to reiterate something. It says he broke the power of sin and provided a means. What that statement says is that God did something for us, and that power is available. It's available to us all. He provided it for us, but he will not force it upon you. He will not shove his mercy down your throat. He will not shove his freedom, his power, his glory. He will not shove it down your throat. But he says it is available to all who will come. And all, this is, we overcomplicate this power of the cross. We overcomplicate it, and God's saying, I have done the work. It is completed. It is available. Come and rest and receive this power. Well, preacher man or Justin man or whatever, encounter guy, somebody come up to me and say, hey, you're the encounter guy. Okay. How do we do this? Guys, it... relationship. If I can get anything instilled to you, it's relationship. How do I become more intimate with my wife? Is time. It's time. It's sitting on the front porch, swinging with my wife, talking to my wife, even after 15 years of being together, 14 years, whatever it is. There's so many different layers of her that I have not experienced yet, that I want to experience, that I want to know. I can't do it if I do not intentionally make time to spend with her. If you're not intentionally seeking God and digging into your own personal relationship with Jesus, this stuff is not going to make sense. And I don't overcomplicate the process of spending time with Jesus. If you're not spending at least 15 minutes a day with him, start tomorrow. You have to start somewhere. But if you want this power all of a sudden to be poured out on you, but you're not doing your portion by seeking God, you're going to end up disappointed. And I say that out of love because I just want you to experience what I've experienced. And I am nothing special. The only reason I've experienced it is because I finally collapsed and said, let me get in your lap. I think some of us in here tonight are still looking at the cross saying, there's no way that was for me. Well, that spirit is a blatant lie. And God is petitioning his children right now saying, I did not have my flesh tore from my body so you could live defeated. I had my flesh tore from my body and humiliated, and my life took from me so you could be free. So you could be empowered. And so you could actually experience this thing these people talk about in the church house. It's not just in this book. It's not just something available for your neighbor. It's available for all of us. And God just says, I just want you to come and get at my feet in my presence so I can give you what I can pour my body and my soul and my spirit and my blood over your life. I poured it over your cross. Why don't you think I'll pour it over your life? That's all he wants. That's all God's asking of us, is to climb up in his lap and say, God, you may have to say, I don't understand. He's okay with that. But if you're willing to throw your hands up and surrender and say, God, just do in me, if you're willing to climb up in God's lap, throw your hands up and say, God, your will. I'm tired. I'm exhausted. I'm tired. Your will. He will. If you'll seek his will, he will. I promise. Number two. No. Let's before we look at number two, I want to read this scripture. John 8:36 says, so if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. If you have salvation in this room tonight, that means you have been set free from the eternal prison of sin and hell, okay? So if Jesus Christ has done that, God's saying, if you have been set free, if you've received my Son as your personal Savior, you're free. 2 Corinthians 3:17, this is not in there, but you need to hear this. It says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. Remember, we said this 100 times, the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is the same Spirit that's living inside of you. That Spirit, if that Spirit is present in your life, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Freedom is the opposite of bondage. We're all trying to come out of bondage. So that Spirit that's living inside of you, that one that's saying, deal with that right there. Quit being scared to verbalize what you're doing, because it's not an admission of guilt. It's an admission of, I need help. I want to help you, but you got to let it go. You got to let it go. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, listen, y'all hang on to this, because I'm fixing to set somebody here free tonight. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have come new. Y'all don't open this card yet. Sonia, don't open that. I think that one's for you. Don't open that. Don't open that. I think that one's for you. Don't open that. Don't open that, guys. Hey, Ray, that one's for you. I'm pretty sure of it. I'm pretty sure of it. James Kugler, that one's for you, bud. Where's she at? Sister, I know that one's for you. Don't y'all open them yet. If I could, I'd have given one to everyone in the classroom. Yeah, we may go over a little bit tonight, guys. I'm fixing to go back to that scripture, and I'm going to tell you to open that thing up. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have come new. Open that card up, and what does that card say? What does yours say, sister? New creation, huh? Ray, what does yours say? What does yours say, James Kugler? What about your sister? What about, who else has a card? New creation. Some of you in here are so, you're held on by what's behind you that you cannot get out of this grave. And God says, I want that grave to become your platform for your ministry. The very grave that you're standing in is what God wants to use to set you free. You are a new creation. You are not who you used to be, sister. You're not an addict no more. You hear me? You are not an addict. Because of what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross, sister, you are free, and you do not have to live in that bondage no more. No more. It is done. We are not going to sit here and give the enemy more credit than he is due, because we have a God that has already put his foot on his neck. We have got to quit walking around defeated. We have got to quit walking around in this life saying that I can't. I'm not good enough. It'll never work for me. That is a lie from the pit of hell. We have got to understand that what Jesus Christ did on the cross, it was so complete that we cannot take away from it. We cannot add to it. We don't have to. It is done. It is accomplished. It is finished. Jesus' last words as a man, he said, tetelestai. That means it is done. It is finished. The old is gone. The new is in front of us. People, begin to walk in this new freedom that God has promised you. We have got to quit allowing these invisible prisons and chains that are clinging to our back control us anymore. It does not matter what your family did. It doesn't matter what your dad did no more. It doesn't matter what your mom did, what an uncle did to you. It doesn't matter what happened to you in prison. It does not matter no more. What matters is what we decide to do moving forward from tonight. What's today's date? What is today's date? Write in your book, October 25th, I am new. I will not be the old me no more. I am new. October 25th, God changed my life. Now we can go to number two. The new covenant now allows us to walk in freedom from all things that result from the sin nature, including curses. The new covenant. You was in an old covenant the day you was born. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and because of what he did on that cross, you're in a new covenant. You're in a new contract with your life. And God says in that contract, that one's mine. I died for that one. You cannot have her. You cannot have him. He belongs to me. She belongs to me. And I have something above and beyond anything she could ever imagine if she'll just receive it. Devil, you're the covenant that they made with you when you were born is no more. I got a new contract, and I signed it with my blood. And when it's signed by the blood of Jesus, you can take it to the bank because it is complete. It will not return void. Take it to the bank. Take it to the bank. I'm sick and tired of believers walking around like they got the weight of the world on their shoulders when they've got the living, breathing life of the Holy Spirit living inside of them. Get up and walk, church. Get up and walk. Walk in this freedom. God did not call us to be shackled into prisons. If Christianity is about prisons, I'll go back. I don't want to go back. And I'd much rather go on this ride of freedom with Jesus, with the hope and the promise that there is an eternal life with him, than I would ever want to roll the dice and think, you know what, I'm going to just live in this old junk in here and just experience a little bit of fun before this thing's over with. Give me a relationship with God, because it is the greatest high. It is the greatest ride you'll ever go on. Nothing can compare to the presence of the Holy Spirit. Number three, as we put our faith and trust in Christ's finished work, we are empowered not only to walk in freedom, but to partner with him in his great work of kingdom expansions. Somebody in here ought to get excited, because let me tell you something, the freedom that I'm talking about, it's not just, Chris, this freedom is not just for you, son. God wants you to receive it so you can expand his kingdom. Do you know what that means? That means God is asking you to partner up with him. Can anybody get excited about being partners with Christ? Yeah. Jesus Christ is saying, I want to partner with you. Heath, I want to partner with you. I don't want to partner with you just so you can be free. I want to change people's life through your story, son. Seville. God didn't give you that barbecue truck to cook. He gave you that barbecue truck as a testimony to change people's life and expand the kingdom. Your position and your voice at the JCs and at that college is not for your gain. It's so God can use you as a mouthpiece to change the Nacogdoches County. You understand me? You understand, brother? Michael, that old junk ain't you no more, young man. And the devil's grips no longer has you. Because Jesus Christ climbed up on your cross and you are free from that junk. I know you're junk and you're free from it. And the enemy's telling you there's no way you can move forward. But Jesus Christ paved a way for you to walk down, young man. Walk it. You walk it. God doesn't just want to do a work in us. He wants He needs mouthpieces. He needs mouthpieces. When he told the little boy at the widow and the story of the widower bearing her son, he told that boy, he says, sit up out of that coffin, son, and speak. He didn't say speak to yourself. He said speak, and it says the word of God spread throughout through Judea like wildfire. Imagine if you begin to speak of what God's done in your life, to your community, to your group, it'll spread like wildfire. You want to know how to change this county? Begin to tell people what God's done in your life and walk in freedom. There's 100 people in here. Each one of you tell about Jesus tomorrow, that's 200 people that I know about God. Come on now. Quit hiding underneath the rock what Jesus Christ has done in your life. When you can look someone in the eye and say, me too, I've been down that road. There's power in relational testimony. Stand up in your grave and use it as a platform to change the people in your life. You hear me? So how do we get stuck with these jokers? We're not going to spend much time here. Number one, your family characteristics. My dad was rough, tough, and mean, but he loved him some Jesus. So guess what? I was rough, tough, and mean, but I knew Jesus. Family characteristics, guys. Look through your history. Look through your family. You can see this relational identity that you have with someone in your family. My mom was an extreme alcoholic, so was I. My whole family were addicts. They were just addicted to food, and I took it to a whole other level. It's your family characteristics. Number two, how do we get stuck with generational hand-me-downs? There are learned behaviors and habits, some good, some bad. One of the greatest things my dad did was teach me about the Bible and teach me how to work. It was learned. My dad taught me when I was 16 years old, I had a fencing company that I was in charge of and owned that I never seen a paycheck from. For my 16th birthday, my dad pulled up with a fencing trailer that he had built to go build fence, and he's like, happy birthday, son. I was like, what's this? It's your new company. Go build barbed wire fence for people. He had all these jobs lined up. I never seen a check. He told me that check went to electric, food, and everything else. Boy, you got a house to live under. But I tell you what, I've known how to work. I don't have a college education, and I've been successful in my life, not because I'm great, but because my dad taught me to hustle. Okay? God does not like laziness, spiritually or physically. So we learn them. And then number three, an unhealed, uncovered Achilles heel. This is our weak point. In our own lives, in our own individual lives, in our families as well. Listen, I got 2 minutes. The enemy knows our weak points. He knows mine. Gosh, does he know mine? Jennifer, he knows your weak points. He knows you're doubting right now. Quit doubting. James, he knows your weak points. Y'all gonna get through this. He's got his hand on you. He just wants you to grow in the process. Amanda, he sees your heart. Right? He knows how you respond. And he knows your weak spot are your kids. He's got them babies. He's got them. There's a guy in here named Jeremy Charbo, and his weak spot was his voice for a long time. And the enemy knew it, and he crippled him. First time I ever met Jeremy Charbo, it took him 2 weeks to come to my house and just eat. Now I can't shut him up. The enemy knew his weak spot, and he exposed it. And he said, here, God, here it is. And now he is the red carpet coordinator at Lufkin campus, and red carpet is the most extroverted dream team area we have. He sees your weak spots. He knows my weak spot. He knows how my mind works. Well, how do we combat these weak spots? Your heart crystal? He made it like that for a reason. You're not a doormat no more, baby. God made you powerful to love people. Blake, listen, son. He knows exactly what triggers you. You keep laying it down, okay? Because God's got some big plans for you, young man. I promise you. God started something in you, Blake, and I promise you he's going to finish it. You keep laying it down. Don't you pick it up. You understand me? That's from God. How do we combat it? How do we combat it? Right here. This is nothing but truth. When you know who God is, and when you know who you are in Christ, when that junk comes in your head, that lie that tells you that you're unworthy, that you'll never get past this anger, that you'll never be loved again, when you know this word, it's not about knowing the scripture so you can rebound with the scripture. If you do this, powerful. But when you know who Jesus is and what he did on his finished work on the cross, and then you come to terms with who you are in him, not who you are on your own, but whose you are, that you are a son and a daughter to the Creator, the one that shot Satan down on the ground. That's where the word burpee comes from. When Jesus spat him down to the ground and he hit it and jumped up, he said, burpee. You CrossFit people should get that. He knows what makes you tick. But more than he knows what makes you tick, the one that breathed breath into your lungs, your Creator, knows what makes you overcoming. He knows what makes you powerful. And what makes you overcoming and what makes you powerful has nothing to do with what you can do. Because the devil, his response is always going to be, you're not able to. You know what your response should be? You're absolutely right, I can't. But I don't have to because of what he's already done. It's like playing a game of football and you know the score. And we know the team's going to win 100-0. If you knew that you walked on that football gridiron and that the end score was going to be 100-50, and y'all were going to be the winning team, you would play that game a whole lot different. You know what I mean? Well, guess what, guys? The victory's won. Jesus has broke the sting of the death and of the grave and death of sin. He has put his foot on the neck of the enemy. He has picked up the keys to life, and he says, no more, Satan. They're mine. And he has risen himself from the dead, and he is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty for you. Amen. We have already won. Quit walking like we're beat and begin to run like you're victorious. Amen. Father, I just thank you for this opportunity, God, to come into your house. And God, as we take this short break, God, I pray that you continue to speak your word over this class. God, just lay the blanket of your glory upon this chapel tonight, God. That none of us leave here different. That none of us leave here the same. That we all leave here changed and different, Father. And then that change, God, draws us closer to you. Father, we receive your presence in Jesus' name. Amen. Guys, y'all take a break. About 5 to 7 minutes and we'll come back. Got him a shot of coffee. I think we've come to a point in this class where, can I be real with you? Have we got to that point yet? Y'all okay with one person? We got to a point where I can be real with you? All right. I want you to consider this. All right. And I use this analogy because it makes the most sense to me. But I know there's some of you in here tonight, I talked about it just a little bit, but you're struggling with why what's holding me back? What is it that's just not clicking here? Am I doing something wrong, God? Am I not releasing something? Am I not praying right? And you're thinking, and then the enemy is going to use that to say, you know what, this may not be your season. Well, you get rid of that. And I want you to consider something. When I started losing weight, I was 450 pounds, and I could lose weight by walking out the door. It was easy. All I had to do was cut out a little bit of food and walk a little bit, and I could look, because my body was in shock. My body's like, oh, my gosh, there's not 12. You're not eating 3 steaks and 2 cheeseburgers tonight. What are you doing? But as I have gotten smaller, I didn't say small. As I've gotten smaller, it gets tougher. And it's because my body has adjusted, okay? My body has adapted. And even some of you young athletes, you know, you're trying to lose those extra couple pounds. You know, you got to dig a little harder, and it seems like it takes forever. Spiritually, it's the same way. Spiritually, guys, when we walk into this and we're a new believer in Jesus, and it is a shock to our world. And it's just like, I want this, and God will free me up from this. But spiritually, as we grow, right, and this is where I want to be real with you, we got to get a little tougher. That's the reason why we taught on fasting. And so if you're in here tonight and you're saying, what? Why can't I unlock that? What is holding me back? What's keeping me from taking that next step that I know God it wants me to do? And I see this person getting in. I want to challenge you to get a little tougher and dig deeper. To walk out, walk out in a little deeper waters where there's a little bit more life. Well, how do I do that? Maybe you need to up your time in the Word. Maybe you need to make your worship time a little more intentional. Maybe, and somebody in here needs to hear this, maybe you need to quit talking to God so much and get in a quiet place and let God talk to you. Okay? And I say this out of love because we all want y'all to experience this. And then if you say, okay, I am doing these things, well then, let me tell you a little bit about this thing called fasting. He told the disciples, he said, some things only come through prayer and fasting. I challenge you and I encourage you. You want to go to that next level? Go to that next level with God. You want to dig a little deeper? God says, I'll dig a little deeper for you, but I want a little bit more of you. So whoever that's talking to tonight, I'd go home and make myself a plan and say, all right, God, I'm going to surrender a little bit more. I'm going to give up this, and I'm going to fast, I'm not going to set a time frame on it. I'm going to fast until you break through in my life. And I promise you, if you will position your heart to chase God, I promise breakthrough will come. Somebody in here needs to hear that tonight. All right, guys. Now let's talk about how we get rid of these jokers. Okay? We want to hang on to the good ones, but these old bad jokers we want to get rid of. And hey, listen, this is simple. This is a very simple teaching, very simple process, because we are not going to overcomplicate. Jesus took the complication out of walking with him on the cross. All the complexities of it he took. All the complication he took. This is a very simple roadmap plan. This is very informative about what I'm fixing to get you. So lean in. God's going to speak to you and receive this content, because this is, listen, I'm about to give you a roadmap to get rid of these generational hand-me-downs that are hindering you from your walk with Christ, and the generational hand-me-downs that you do not want to give your children. Number one, simple, guys, we got to recognize what hand-me-downs, which ones we're given. Recognize what hand-me-downs you were given. All right? I know I just bared most of my life up here on this stage for y'all. I know what was given to me. But the fact that I can see it and recognize it, now I can deal with it. You see, the word says that the enemy roars around like a lion. He's sneaky. He's not going to come up to your face and say, hey, Justin, all that food you're eating with your dad and them is going to kill you down the road. No. He's going to say, boy, that's good. Add another X to the shirt. It's okay. Just hide it. They'll never know. Okay? So it's when we recognize, but when we can get out here in front of us and we can see it, we say, okay, I see that. And how do I know if it's a good one or a bad one? If it does not line up with the Word of God, if it does not glorify, listen good. If it does not bring God glory, it is not good. I promise, it is not good. Number two, repent of the sinful habit, attitude, or mindset. Just turn around, guys. Repentance Simple. It's return. It means to turn. The definition is to turn from sin and dedicate oneself to the amendment of one's life. It means to change your mind. Before I could ever become the man God designed me to be, I had to change my mindset. Before I could battle my food addiction, I had to change my mindset of it. From I can't to I can. You have to change your mindset. I had a mindset that my wife would never change. She'd never love me the right way. She'd never understand. There's no way she can do this. I had to change my mindset, not that she could. I had to change my mindset that God was already doing it. So I changed my mindset off of the focus of what she was capable of and not capable of, and I focused my mind on what God's promise is. And God made me a promise to her, made me a promise with her when we got married, when we took our covenant, that he had something good for us. Well, I had to go back and focus on that. And when I focused on what God could do, then he began to spiritually change my eyes of what she was doing. And so my mind was turned. If I still thought the same way Justin Lindsay or the old Justin thought, there's no way I could walk forward. You have to be willing to change your mindset. So repent. Whatever those old nasty habits are, listen, you're thinking, oh, this habit, this ain't that big of a deal. If your habit does not glorify God, it is no good. It's not. It's no good. Number three, you got to renounce the lies that you have received. What does the word renounce mean? Renounce means to come out of agreement with. You have to come out of agreement with this junk that's in your life of, well, that's just how my family is. No. Well, that's just who I am. If that who you are doesn't line up with who God called you to be, it doesn't work. You have to renounce that lie, because if you continue to be, well, that's just how I am, that's just who, that's why you'll stay. You keep professing, that's just how I am. It's just, you know, or this one. Well, I'm better. Well, you'll hang on to that one forever. I'm better than I was. That's great, and it's okay to not be okay, but it is not okay to stay that way. And so we have to come out of agreement with this poisonous lie like the lie that I lived with for so long that I had. This is the lie that I live with. It's how much money I made, not how I managed my money. Big difference. Listen, guys, it is not how much you make. It's how much you manage with what God's given you. That's the difference. I was chasing money. Hey, I was 19 years old making six digits a year and didn't have nothing. Nothing. Because I was too worried about, I was spending money trying to make money. I was chasing something. So quit thinking, I have to make more. When your mindset should say, God, how do you want me to manage what you have blessed me with? When you begin to manage what God's given you, watch your finances change. This is not a tithing class. That's week 9. 2 Corinthians 4:2 says this. It says, rather we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to everyone's consciousness in the sight of God. It's basically saying, hey, when I renounce that, when I renounce this way and verbalize it, you ain't got to tell the world. Tell a brother or sister in Christ that you trust. Hey, this is what I'm dealing with. This, what you're doing is you're not speaking shame upon yourself. You're verbalizing that you need the presence of God to overtake and reign and take authority over that territory in your life. So when you renounce and come out of agreement with it, if it's something that you can't battle on your own, which most of the time it's not, because that's why we're still dealing with it, find that brother or sister in Christ. That's what this church is for. And say, hey, I'm battling this. I don't want to battle it no more. I don't know how to overcome it. I need to sit down with somebody. Call the church offices. I promise we will get you in touch with somebody. But you got to come out of agreement with that lie that's pouring over you right now. The enemy is telling someone right now a lie. You don't need to get rid of that. It's not that bad. Let's not deal with that right now. We'll deal with that one later. God wants, He wants your freedom now. Right now. Number four. We have to resist the temptation to fall back into old habits and ways of thinking. Man, this is a tough one here. This one's tough. But listen. Failure is not when you fall. Failure is when you refuse to get back up. That's when you fail. We are not perfect. That's why God inserted grace. So, strive to be perfect in the image of God. But when you fall down, know that there's grace. Do not allow the enemy to say, see, I told you couldn't do this. You get back up and you keep fighting. You get back up and you call that prayer partner, that prayer warrior, that one that's in your life that says, hey, I backslid today. Seville. Man, I pulled over and ate three cheeseburgers on the way home today, brother. I need your help. You know what I mean? But what the enemy wants you to do is say, you know what? It's okay. This is just who you are. And then Tuesday comes around, and because that's who I am, I'm going to do it again. And then I'm going to do it again. And all of a sudden now it becomes part of my DNA, and now you can see evidence of it in my life. When I would have just took that humility and called my brother and said, hey, I'm battling this, dude. Help me walk through this. Okay, we have to resist the temptation from falling back into old habits. Time with Jesus, guys. Time with God, TWG. TAWG, TAWG, time alone with God. Time with Jesus, TWG, however you want to say it. This is how you renew your mind daily. This not going back into your old habits is a daily process, guys. This is a daily battle. Next week, we're going to show you how to battle. Okay? This is something where you renew your mind daily and battle them old habits. Because we're moving what direction, guys? We're moving what direction? Forward. We don't want to go backwards into old habits. And number five, last one, guys, and we're going to do something. Resolve. Resolve to live for God and break the cycle for your own family or future. Hey, how about tonight? How about tonight we get tough? How about tonight we stand up and put our foot down and say, no more, Satan. No more. God has given us an opportunity tonight to leave this junk here. I want to partner with you and us partner with God and say no more. I told my kids before I left because I was brokenhearted, because you know how easy it is just to pick them up something? I said, and I mean it, this is probably the first time I ever mean it. I said, enjoy tonight. I said, because this is no more in the Lindsay household. Because I don't want my kids to battle what I battled. No more. This is my no more. Not for me. God's delivered me. But I got to say no more for my children now. What is it in your life that you need to say no more to? What is it in your life that you need to say, I'm resolving this issue tonight. I'm going to stand firmly in the promise of the completed work of Jesus Christ, and I refuse to live in this bondage anymore. I refuse to allow this generational hand-me-down that is crippling my life, that is separating me from God, that is destroying the very essence of who I am. I resolve to put an end to it tonight. Can anybody get excited about resolving an issue tonight? Come on, class. I told you day one that when you signed up, you become family. Well, family share stuff. I will go ahead and raise my hand and tell you there's something big that I need to resolve tonight that my dad handed down to me. There's something big that I need to resolve. And I'm tired of this cloud looming over me. Mine ends tonight. We're fixing to do what we call a response time. And you'll notice we have trash cans here. And y'all did a spiritual assessment. Where's it at, Crystal? You got one? This right here. Spiritual profile. Nobody's going to look at it. Nobody's going to read it. This is between you and God. And we are fixing to take some time and do a physical application that has huge spiritual results. And that junk that's on that paper, you know what we're going to do with it? We're going to take it. You're going to tear that junk up tonight. You hear that stuff tearing? This junk does not control me no more. This junk doesn't control my... This will not cripple my oldest daughter. It won't. It will not cripple my baby no more. I'm done with it. This... I don't care how convenient it is in my life. If I got to stay up longer, if I got to fight longer, I will not have my kids go down this path that I went down. I won't do it. And if I could throw this joker away, I would, but it is a reminder. This hand-me-down is done. My kids won't fight divorce. It stops with me and Whitney Lindsay. Amen, baby? It stops with me and my wife. I threw this away 4 years ago. It's done. So we're fixing to give you a time of response. Whatever that junk is on that paper is between you and God. And if you're serious about doing business with God and resolving some things in your life and walking out of this chapel tonight free, well, this is for you. This is for you. I'm not in no hurry. We'll send somebody after the kids. I'll stay here with you all night. I don't care. I have my own truck. But we're fixing to softly turn some music on. And I'm fixing to pray over us. And after I get through praying, at your leisure, respond. Whatever it is that's on that paper. If you haven't filled it out, fill it out. I'll wait on you. Whatever it is that you don't want to carry around no more. Whatever it is that's been passed down from generation to generation. Whitney.
Down on my knees again, surrendering.
That's good.
Surrendering.
So good. Did y'all hear that? Did all y'all guys hear that? There may be something that's not on that paper that you want to resolve tonight, that you want to lay down tonight. Write it on the back of that paper, because what I want you to do is when you come up here, I want you to rip that joker up. Rip it up. And listen to the tear of the paper and tell the enemy no more. We walk away victorious tonight, encounter. We walk away freer. Father, do what only you can do. Speak to them how only you can speak to them. Draw them in, Father. And God, whatever it is, God, whatever it is that they've been handed down, whatever it is that they're holding on to, whatever it is, God, that's keeping them from knowing you more. And God, the junk that they possibly could pass down from generation to generation, God, we end their curse tonight. God, we give all of us to you. And God, we receive the victory that you established for us on the cross in Jesus' name.